Everybody, morning recording. I go and clock. See, I was an outside event, and I really cool, but I don't good. Excuse me. Hold on. Lord, I pray against every spell, incantation, and curse working against this ministry right now in the name of Jesus.
Welcome, and thank you for choosing FreeConferenceCall.com. You are helping people around the world communicate for free. Your access by the sign. Access code or phone number you have dialed is incorrect. Hello, Brad. I'm so happy you're able to join.
Hold on, Brian. I'm having technical difficulties.
Prayer line. May God richly bless you today. God bless you. Unmuted. Unmuted.
Sorry, Brian. That is not, Brian, your phone. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Testing, testing. Okay. That is not your phone. That is my computer that has been infected with a virus. Whenever I did that with Yana Benoon, when I played their video from BitChute, it put a virus in the in my computer. So now I have to take it down there to have them fix this virus. But it's where it takes it over. Like right now, it's muting and unmuting the thing. It's almost like a person is taking it over because they do all kinds of weird stuff. They take over the controls. So I'm going to have to take it in and get it fixed this week. But anyway, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's very cold here in Tennessee. I think we have like 30 degrees or something. And we have a really good sermon for you this morning. There's a lot of deception going on out there with the what they're calling the sons of light versus the sons of darkness. And Pastor... God's been really dealing with him about it. Now, his computer over there does not have a virus, so he should be able to have good audio quality when he gets started. But he's going to take you on a journey of, you know, what is the light. And this is very, very important for us in this hour because of the deception that's going to be rolling forth in the coming days. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we're in this 40 days of prayer, Lord, that there's a lot of things happening in our lives, Lord, that's coming to the surface. The warfare is real. And I just thank you, God, that your will be done in this ministry and in all of our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are all more than conquerors, Lord. We are what you say we are. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in the earth today, Lord, because you're very much alive and you're very much still moving. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, because you are worthy of it all, Lord. And you are worthy to be praised. We love you when we understand. We love you when we don't. And we just thank you and give you praise for your word that's going to go forth this morning, Lord, as you prepare us for these days that are increasing of deception. You are preparing us to have more discernment. This is a spiritual warfare training that we're going to go through today. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So, yes, we are in the middle of our 40-day fast. I think this is day number 5. And it has been a real challenge this time. It's been a lot of warfare. And because I believe that what we're going into now, which whenever I do news again, you'll see what I'll be revealing about what they're doing right now. I mean, the deception is just... It's almost just unbelievable that it could be this diabolical. And even when you talk and you try to warn the public, they look at you with deers in the, you know, headlights, deer in the headlights. It's like they cannot even conceive just a tiny bit of what we're trying to say, much less the big picture that we know. Do y'all hear what I am saying? You know, like I was at this place the other day and they all had these watches on, you know, the Fitbits. And this one girl who was 18 years old, that Fitbit started talking to her. It said, "Do you have COVID-19 symptoms? Have you been having a fever? Have you been having this? Are you feeling this, 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 this?" And she's like getting mad at her watch, and she's telling it, "Shut up, shut up," but it wouldn't. You know, and you try to tell these people, well, it is reading your bodily symptoms. See, what happened is, and I'm going to tell you, this girl probably has the onset of what they're describing as the V, you know, the virus. And so they're asking her so she can affirm, okay? This goes back to technology and affirming. And she just got mad at him, wouldn't answer it, you know. And then this lady sitting next to her said, "Oh, yeah, you know, every time I go to the doctor, boy, they're asking me, every time it's about COVID, every time." And then they was all talking about how they, you know, believe all of this narrative. And, I mean, it's like you feel like you're a, you know, person that is an alien in a foreign world, you know. But this is the time we're living in. So when Pastor talks to you today about the light, I pray that you truly listen, because we know that this administration that's coming in even has coins that say they are the sons of light. And they're battling this darkness, the sons of darkness, okay? So this is very key, because these New Age people that are connected to him are all pushing the light right now. So I'm going to open up the floor to Pastor. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody
you
is
got
having
the floor,
a good
sir.
Morning. All right, thank you, Mama. As she was saying, yes, it's the times are getting more serious, and we've been talking a lot about deception, and it seems like every day you can see in the news, media, or whatever, more and more of it in different forms or aspects or whatever. It is something. And yes, I believe, I know we are here going through a lot of some spiritual battles, and even with technology, you know, and so our reports are coming in of lots of people increasing in more battles and everything, and so we're all, it's almost like you want to say being tested, you know, in our faith, that, you know, we really have to trust the Lord now more than ever, every day. And I believe being in the Word more every day, you know, more Word, more power, as Derek Prince always said. And so that's, we need to have our noses in the Word and you know, stand on His Word. So, and His Word is the light, as we're going to find out today, for He is the light. So, and that's going to be kind of my message today. We're just going to be talking about some scriptures about light. And what I want to do first, I guess we'll just pray first. Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You that You are the God of light and You expose the darkness. And so we thank You, Lord, that You would pour out Your light upon us, Lord, the light of truth to set the captives free, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You that the light dispels all darkness. Where there's light, there can be no sickness, no disease, no calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us in the light. So we just thank You, Lord, for Your light to shine upon us, in us, and through us, and every fiber of our being, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. And we just thank You and we praise You, Lord, for Your glorious light, the light of truth. Your Word says, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we thank You, Lord, for that liberty from all that comes against us, Lord. And we praise You and we thank You, Lord. And we ask that You would bless this message, bless Your Word to our ears, Lord, that we see the light of truth, Lord, that You would change us, Lord. If there's any darkness anywhere in us, Lord, we just ask that that would be exposed today, and that we could be set free from those things that draw us, is trying to pull us out of Your light, Lord, out of the truth, out of, you know, just anything that's there, Lord, that needs to be exposed by the light of Your Word, by Your love and Your beauty, and just pull it out of us, Lord. And we just got to give You all the glory and the honor, Lord, in Your mighty name. Amen. I'm going to, got my old faithful Bible dictionary out, and I'm just going to read what it says about the light in there. That's the first thing I want to do. And light, mostly Hebrew and Greek. Light is declared by the scriptures to have come into existence by the express fiat of the Almighty, and to have been in existence long before man or the present races of animals or vegetables had their being. Genesis 1:3. Of all the benefits which we have as inhabitants of this lower world received from God, there are few more remarkable than the possession of light, with an organization enabling us to make use of it. By means thereof, we come into possession of much of our knowledge, many of our comforts and necessities, to say nothing of its wonderful purity, delicacy, and variety of colors which it reveals to the eye of man. It is not at all surprising thereof that we should exercise a vast influence over the imagination of man and led to its worship. I'm going to stop there, pause there for a minute. A lot of the cults today, you know, it's the worship of the sun, you know, sun gods, you know, it's terrible. Such being the case, we find many instances in the Word where such tendency is discouraged. You know, sun worship, you know, the worship of the sun. in the worship of gold, you know, that something bright. Figuratively, the Almighty Himself is frequently spoken as of connected with the idea of light. Thus, God is light, 1 John 1:5. The Father of lights, James 1:17. God is addressed as one who covers thyself with light, like as with a garment, Psalm 104:2. And as dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, 1 Timothy 6:16. And that's what I pray a lot about, the light, you know. Lord, you know, just cover us with the light. Fill us with the light, you know. And I'm going to give a little testimony about that in a minute here, if I remember. And then great lofty and excellence grandeur is introduced by the combination of figures of darkness and light, and by making them mutually enhance each other, Psalm 18:11, Exodus 24:15 and 17. Jesus, as the one who brings the true knowledge of God, is called the light of man, John 1:4. See also Matthew 4:16, John 1:9, John 8:12, John 12:35, 36. And let me tell you what, there's so many scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, that talk about the light and, you know, the difference between the light and the darkness and all that. It's just very interesting to read those and ponder on those. Light is continually used as figuratively of holiness and purity, Proverbs 6:23, Isaiah 5:20, Romans 13:12. Light also, as mighty as might naturally be expected, is frequently used for spiritual illumination, especially that illumination which is effected in the soul by the indwelling spirit. You know, into the soul realm, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Again, light is used as a figure of, in general, for that which cheers or renders prosperous and is applied with much force to spiritual joy arising from the happy influence of the spirit of peace. And Father, we just thank you for that spirit of peace to flow upon each one of us right now. Amen. Hence, the frequent use of the expression, the light of thy countenance. The Lord is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27:1. And light is sown for righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart, Psalm 97:11. A striking variety is given in Job 37:21. Men see not the bright light in the cloud. Their trouble is oppressing them, that all seems dark, and they observe not the happier times in store for them. Wow. You know, and that's something we need to do. We need to, you know, all the trials and tribulations and all this stuff, you know, coming at us, you know, and, oh, you know, we can't live in our little pity party. I know I've been there. And, you know, we got to look at a much bigger picture, you know, the, you know, much happier times and glorious times when we, you know, our eternal destination, you know, our life now is but a vapor, scriptures say. The word of God is compared to a light, Psalm 119, 105, and there's many other scriptures, but that's just one they say here. The figure is also applied to the heavenly state, Isaiah 60, 19 and 20, Colossians 1:12, Revelation 21:23, 22, 25. Finally, the figure is applied to Christians in general, Matthew 5:14, Ephesians 5:8, and to holy men, as John the Baptist, John 5:35. And then, you know, that's just the word light. Now, you can look up lamp, and there's a lot more scripture about the lamp, you know. And so the light is very powerful. And a testimony I want to give about the light, the glorious light, is years ago, and gosh, how many years now? It's 15, 20 years or whatever. A friend of mine, very dear friend of mine's wife, was in a serious accident in the hospital, in a coma for I don't know how many months. He quit his job, moved into the hospital room, and there he was the whole time. Slept there, stayed there, lived there. He knew about more about his wife, what was going on, than the doctors. He learned, and the nurses explained everything to him. I mean, it was just amazing. But anyway, I would sneak in there at night after hours and sit with him and pray with him. One night I was down by her feet, and I put my hands on her feet. And he was up there, you know, sitting by the side of her, you know, and the light was real dim. And I started praying in the spirit and started just speaking God's glory light into her. Just anything I could that was coming to me, just fill her with the glory light. Fill her from the bottom of her feet to her head, just the light of your glory, Lord. And just went on. And I don't know how long I was doing this. But all of a sudden, my friend was shaking me. Danny, stop, stop. And I'm like, what? And he's like, stop, look at the instrument. And all the instruments, I mean, she was plugged into, I don't know how many things, you know, the whole board of gauges and this and that. And they were all beep, 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 beep. And you know, all this sound was going on. And he's like freaking out. And when I stopped, they all went back down to normal just by praying God's glory light into her and just, you know, focusing on the light and everything. It's like, wow. That changed my thought about God's light and his glory light, you know. And well, a couple of years later, you know, this was probably it was over a year before she got out of the hospital and had rehab, and she was like a little child. She had to be trained all the way up because she had brain damage and all kinds of stuff. They said she would never hear again. She can hear perfect. Lucky if she doesn't have brain damage. I mean, she just come out of this almost completely. Last time I talked to her, which has been a while now since I moved here to Tennessee, but all she had was these little epileptic seizures once in a while. But she was going to write about her experience. And she, when she was in that coma, she said she seen the Lord a couple times. And it was just this one time she remembers, it was just this glorious, bright light. Just, wow, she was just in awe. And she could just see kind of like a shadow or an image of the Lord. Was that when I was praying over her? I don't know. But God's glory light is so awesome. Amen. Okay, so one of the main scriptures I'm going to be in today is Matthew 24, if everybody wants to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Okay. Matthew 24, and we're going to go to verse 24. But, okay, this is a very powerful chapter, okay? Matthew 24:24. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, these false Christ and these false prophets. And I guess I shouldn't just say I'm going to be talking about the light, but it's going to be most also about the false Christ, the false prophets. You know, we really got to take hold of this. And I'm going to kind of get into that why. Okay. So here very clearly it's telling you that there's going to arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This very elect is what? It's chosen. It's the chosen of God, the people who are chosen of God, okay? You know, and my question is it possible that the very elect can be deceived? You know, it says here, they shall deceive the very elect. But I want to point out one powerful little word in this scripture, and that word is if. Whenever you see that word if, you need to stop and pause and think and ponder. Because it says, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Is it possible that you could be deceived right now? Is it possible I am being deceived? You know, because we talk to people and you mention certain things and they just, it's like a wall that just goes up. They don't want to hear nothing about it. You know. Are they being deceived? Why don't they want to hear the truth? Because, you know, this ministry is about preparing the bride for such a time as this. This ministry is a watchman ministry. We're watching. We're seeing what's going on. We're putting, you know, it's like a puzzle, pieces together for a big picture. And that's what people are not doing. And when we, you know, try and talk to somebody about one little topic, boom, the wall goes up before we can even. And you can just see the countenance of people change. I don't know about anybody out there, but it's very clear we can. So if it were possible. You know, if it's possible, are these false prophets, these movements, you know, deceiving you? Then I was pondering and thinking about this, yes. Because why other would, you know, why would Jesus say it? And I would say is a warning to believers. You know, it's here in the scriptures. So I would say, yes, it's possible. Otherwise, how come all through the Bible he talks about it? You know, beware of these false prophets, our false Christ. Do these false prophets fall along with, are in line with the false Christ? Now think about this. You got the false Christ and false prophets. I look at this as the false Christ are, say, a little higher up on the totem pole. And the false prophets are under him. You know, it's like a true prophet. He gets, you know, dreams and visions from the Lord, you know, or from his word. And it just hits them in the face like a light, like Paul, you know, on his road to Damascus. And then, wow. And then he goes out and he's talking or whatever, you know. And then it goes to the prophets and then they're going around and talk. So I just, it's just a thought. You know, verse 22, let's read this here. Just the first part of this chapter, because this is about, you know, the coming of the Son of Man, you know, that time. And I want to point out a couple of certain things here. You know, this is, let's go down to verse 4. And they're asking, what's the sign of your coming, okay? And he says, and Jesus answered them and said to them, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. And I'm going to point that word out, deceive. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, we're hearing wars and rumors of wars. And a lot of this is old stuff to most of us, most of you. But the point is, we need to take heed. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Boy, we're seeing that. Many shall be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. See, there it is again. We need to take heed to this. Who are you listening to? Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know? How many of you out there have loved ones who don't want nothing to do with you no more? Dear friends, because you're trying to expose the darkness, trying to make people aware of things, but they just don't want nothing to hear about it. I believe that's what that verse is saying, because the iniquity, the sin shall abound, and love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Woo. You know, there goes pre-trib out the door. For he that shall endure unto the end. Now, you're going to be going through this stuff. You ain't going to be raptured out of here and, oh, hunky-dory. So we thank you, Father God, right now that we, by your power and your grace and your mercy, shall endure unto the end. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we're to be witnesses. We're to stand up boldly and proclaim what? The gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. I want to stop there and ponder that. And whoa, that means grief. Like, you're grieving. Wow. You know, how many of us today are grieving because we have dear loved ones, our children, our family, because they can't see the light of truth. They can't see a bigger picture. They're closing the doors in your face. They have a veil. They can't see the truth. Their hearts are hardened. You know, we grieve that. We, you know, we're just saddened. But this is what we do. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither in the Sabbath day. You know, we need to pray. For then shall be great tribulation. This throws out again, pre-trib. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. We're going to be going through tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but great tribulation. I want to point that out. You know, and we're seeing that. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And there's other scriptures about those days shall be shortened. I'm not going to go there right now. Verse 23, and if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. You know? So, you know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Do is God's chosen people, will they go through great tribulation? Me, I'm saying yes. You know, I was, you know, pondering this, and I shared this with June. This was last night, yesterday night, and I was looking at this and really pondering, and wow, you know. You know, are we going to go through the great tribulation? And as I was thinking this, it just kind of come up in my spirit. And I heard, yes, my son. That's all I heard. So I'm going to share that for a minute. So here's the deal, you know. We as the elect of God are clearly warned by Jesus Christ, that there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Very clear here in Matthew 24:24. And if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, it goes back to my question, if it were possible, you know. Is it possible me or you could be deceived? You know, it's just a question. We have to keep wondering because we're seeing it. Then let's go down to verse 25 here. Behold, I have told you before. And let's stop right there. Behold. When that word comes, when you see that word, that means stop. Pay attention. Look, see. Whoa, what's going on here? What am I seeing here? What's the big picture? Well, it says here, I have told you before. You know? And when I say that, I'm going to say this because there's so many other scriptures where they talk about this. So again, it's a warning. He's warning us. Be ready. Pay attention. Verse 26. Wherefore, there's that word wherefore. If they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. We're going to stop and talk about that verse. You know? Behold, he. What? He's in secret chambers, believe it not. So these false prophets, these antichrists, these, you know, false Christ, they're saying, oh, Jesus is over here. Jesus is over there. He's in the desert. He's in the secret chambers. Well, it says here, believe it not. So I'm sitting there looking at this and going, wow, secret chambers. These antichrists are saying, oh, he's in the secret, these false prophets, he's in the secret chambers. What's that mean? Well, a little footnote here in my Bible, it says inner rooms. So, well, I did a little research on it, you know, and it could refer to as Christian prayer chamber or your prayer closet, you know, or a room for special purpose. You know, that's where you pray. That's where you put your special things that you really, you know, have artifacts, documents, et cetera, et cetera. Or could be referred to a hall or room for meetings, or a room where a judge works, or yet a room or place where a group of people who form part of a legislation. You know, Jesus is over here. He's over there. He's over here in this chamber where all these people are gathered together for some whatever agenda, let's just say. Come over here, you got to be part of this Jesus movement. Well, we need to take heed. You know, I'm looking at it as these false Christs are false prophets trying to get people, Christians, to follow some deceptive plan. Because that's what he's talking about. You know, you could be deceived. Come over here. But, oh, no, you better not. So he's talking about some deceptive plan or agenda, saying Jesus Christ is in this, whatever it may be. But behold, don't pay attention. No, he is not. It says, believe it not. The least, you know, the last three words here in verse 26. You know, us as believers in Jesus Christ would hear such words with a calm indifference. You know, we need to take heed. What are they saying here? For they would know that. You know, we should know that, you know, something's not right here. This agenda, I don't know. We got to question this. Why do they want us to go there? Why do they want us to go over here? Hopefully, you know, a believer, a Christian would know that these people are false prophets. This is a false movement. Following these false Christ would have great and since, you know, consequences. You know, we need to have good sense, discernment to see through these alluring and deceptive agendas. You know, come here, oh, Jesus is over here, come there, you know. We need to have discernment. Amen. And I know I did a message on that. The big picture of it all is we can see today is what? The half-truths, the falsehoods of it all. You know, these half-truths, you know, people, wow, they're getting seduced into these movements or these go here, go there. It sounds all good, but it can't be so good anyway, because why else would Jesus be warning us not to go there? You know, the key is the solution. You know, they have the solution. Don't come over here. You know, their agenda is the answer. Is it? You know, an example of this is the Hebrew Roots movement. You know, all it's doing is taking people back into the law. You know, it's just a half truth. Oh, let's all go back. You know, they're not telling the whole full truth. You know, they're just tickling ears, itching ears, the Bible says, about the true Jesus. A lot of these agendas and movements, they don't even bring up the true gospel. You know, repent for the remission of your sins. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Sheared with a hot iron, sheared with false accusations, false truths, half-truths. Because that's what we're seeing. We can see that all over the board. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-17. Whoa. When I read this, it's like, whoa. Wow. I'm going to turn there quick. I've got it written here, but I'm going to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 2. You know, people need to really pay attention to 2 Thessalonians because it's an encouraging in times of persecution. It's a lot of the first part of that. That's what it's about, you know. 2 Thessalonians 2, let's go to, let's just start at the top. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. And that's us today, Lord. We just thank you that we can gather together for your name's sake, Lord. Study your word. Show us the truth. Help us, Lord, to know, you know, not be deceived. 2, that ye may not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Did you catch that? By any means. Not just by this or that, but by any means. There's going to be a lot of ways that you can be deceived. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed and the son of perdition. Did you catch that? Except there coming a falling away first, you know, falling away from the truth, falling into deceptive half-truths, maybe in a church where, you know, they're only teaching half the story, you know, they're not preaching the whole doctrine. You know, we see this. It's a great falling away. They come to, you know, they come to the truth of the matter about something, but then they're not taking heed. They're not really, okay, I need to come out of that. And they stay where they're at. They stay in that deception. They're in a church where they just can't leave. They've been there so long. You know, so we'll just stay here. That's a falling away from the truth of the matter. You know, essentially signifying a person sustained from utter eternal destruction. That's where it talks about that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, that's son of perdition. It's signifying that this person is disdained for utter eternal destruction, the eternal damnation. The phrase indicates that this individual will be completely rejected by God and face severe consequences for their actions. And this man will deceive many that day before the day of the Lord. You know, what a warning. Verse 4, who opposes and exalted himself above that he is called God, or that is worshipped so that he is God's, he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, claiming to be a savior. Do we not see that today? I won't say his name, but we got a guy right now saying, oh, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to repudiate all this bad stuff. Sorry, only God can do that. And all these people following that agenda got their ears tickled. Oh, we got a savior. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. There again, remember, I told you about these things. Now you know that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. You know, he's warned us, this guy's coming, this agenda's coming. For the mystery of iniquity does always already work. Yeah, it's working all right. We can see it. Only who now leadeth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, from whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Wow. They won't receive the love of the truth. God is love. He is the truth. His word is the truth. You know? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Boy, do we not see this strong delusion over people, over the world? Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Whoa, I can say, man, people that are not believing the truth. And it talks about the very elect going to be deceived. So, I'm not judging here, but we need to ponder that scripture. Are these people going to be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness? Is there hope for these people? But verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always unto God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, to sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth. Sanctification. Did you catch that word? To be set apart by what? The Spirit and the belief of the truth. You know, we need to be sanctified, set free from the errors of our ways, from the half-truths, the lies, the deception, whatever it may be. Sanctify us, sanctify our hearts, O God. That's a powerful word. You could do a whole message on that alone. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Why is he telling us to stand fast? Because look at all that this come. If there's any deceivableness of unrighteousness, we need to stand fast and hold our ground. And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or the epistle. We have to stand on God's word today, not half-truths. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Thank you, Father, for grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Strengthen us, Lord, through your word. Amen. You know, there's going to be severe consequences for just making some following half-truths. Let's go to First Thessalonians chapter 5. And here again, he's talking about of the times and the seasons, brethren. Ye have no need that I write unto you, no occasion. Because you probably heard all this already. That was verse 1. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know, we know this is coming perfectly. Full well is what that word means. We know full well that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Nobody knows the day, the hour. We just know the season, and I believe we're in that season. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There's going to be people that aren't going to escape this. But ye, brethren, praise God, thank you, Lord, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and are not of the night nor darkness. You know, this scripture is kind of a metaphor of living by faith in alignment with God's will and under his scrutiny. There's a war going on now, you know, against the children of the light. You know, we must reject the powers of the adversary and to choose daily to follow the light of Christ. Amen. You know, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. this just come to my mind. What was it? The other day, there was something. It was a phone call, or me and June were talking about something, and it just come up to mind. Yeah, we need to have sober minds. We need to be paying attention, is what that means. You know, let us not sleep as do others, willingly ignorant of. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. Amen. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, condemnation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Verse 10, for who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, God's word should comfort us. And Lord, I thank you for that comfort that you give us, knowing your word and warning us and letting us know, you know, that we shouldn't live in fear. We're getting upfront information here of what is coming and what we can see. We should be so thankful for God's word to warn us and show us what's going on, that we can edify each other and build each other up on our most holy faith, I believe the word says. That's kind of what it's saying here. You know, and as we know this, we see it, we can prepare our hearts. And what? We're looking at a bigger picture here. We're looking at a bigger picture than that puzzle that I was talking about. You know, all these little things coming at us, and we can see this big picture. Well, we're looking at a picture bigger than this picture. We're looking at eternity. Woo! Amen. With our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, verse 17, I'm going to jump down here. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. You know, when you're being led into the truth and see the truth and you better be obedient to the truth. Don't quench the spirit of truth. Don't just, well, you know. Because then you won't be led by the light and glory of God's word. You're going to be led by the darkness. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You know, we need to have discernment of good and evil. And that's a powerful prayer. And I'm going to pray that right now. Lord, we thank you, Father, that as we read your word, just reveal to us the truth that sets us free. Help us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Show us the way that we can, verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Father. Praise you for your peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard over our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:17, one of my favorite scriptures. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. God is so faithful to those who seek him within truth, holiness. Amen. Let's turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. And this is the parable of the dishonest steward. And I'm not going to read it all, but from verse 1 to about 18, you know, and in this parable, of the unjust steward, Jesus contrasts the sons of light. Okay? And or should I say, the children of the light. I'm trying to find that. But it's contrasting, you know, the children of the light are the with the children of this world, which refers to unbelievers. Jesus used this parable to teach his disciples to be careful and clever. Take heed, behold, with earthly resources, and to be equally sharp with interacting with this world. Okay. Some say that Jesus have also used this term, sons of light, or the children of the light, to refer to the to these wait a minute here. Yeah, with the group whose favorite name for themselves was also the sons of light. I think I'm in the wrong scripture here. I'm trying to find this. I made a wrong note here. Anyway, but the Dead Sea Scrolls show that the Essenes had a closed economical system, okay? I'm going to go back here once. If that was, excuse me, but maybe.
Well, Papa, while you're doing that, I'm going to scripture to him. Verse 13, it says, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And see, that's the choice we've come to. It's black and white. It is simple. It's to the point. You either serve God, who
where
is
you at?
The light, where you're at in Luke 16.
Okay.
Verse 13. You know, and basically that's okay. What this is. Yeah. I mean, they.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, he's warning us what? To avoid economical system. You know, he's teaching his disciples to avoid this economical system. And when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking Bitcoin, digital ID. What else, Mama? You know, lots of things that she's been exposing.
Well, the economical system is depending upon the government to take care of you.
Uh-huh.
That is where
right.
People are going to have to be ready to trust in the Lord, because we cannot serve two masters. You know, and that's what the beast is trying to do right now. He's trying to get people to trust in him. In other words, he's producing the problem. Let's say weather scenarios or, you know, something like that. And then the solution will be him. You know,
right.
That's why this is so dangerous, the false light, because they are presenting this as we're the good people here. You know, we have all the solutions to your problems. We're going to save the entire world. All you have to do is just step over here. This is where it's going to be so deceptive. Many people are going to take it. I mean, we've seen many dreams where they sit you down at a table and they say, look, we're going to give you all this money, you know, and this is where people are going to cave if they don't understand what the false light is. Because they may give you this, but what is the solution to the problem? What is the way that they're leading you to? What is the vine that they're attached to? See what I mean?
Right.
We know we cannot go into Web 3.0 and into this new Luciferian economy, which has nothing to do with God, you know, type of deal. And I want to tell y'all this while it's on my spirit. Yesterday I was in the bank. We had so much coming against us yesterday. It was just something, wasn't it, Pastor? And
yes.
So I was in the bank and I asked him, I said, sir, I just want to ask you, when are y'all going to stop the regular money? He's like, what do you mean? And I said, you know, like Web 3.0. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And this is like an assistant manager here. And I said, you know, where they're going to go all digital and they're going to stop us from using cash. And he said, I haven't heard anything about it. He said, but I will tell you this. I know that this new crypto that Trump's trying to do, and they're trying to push everybody over here, he said, the banks are fighting that. And I told him, I said, well, I'm sure they are. The banks,
yeah.
There will be no more banks. You know, there will be no more banks, you know. So he assured me, you know, that they're going to try to stick this out as long as they can. So I hope that, you know, that banks do. But this message this morning is so right on it, because we do have to know what is the false light, which when you get finished, I'm going to go into sort of the political side of it, and they'll see what I'm talking
sure.
about from there.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So turn to Ephesians 5. You know, and he's talking to Christians. You know, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of who? God, his word. Not some man that's saying, oh, I got the perfect plan over here. Let's jump down to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Woo! Did you catch that? Let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words, words that are deceiving you, words that are taking you over there or over here, and taking you on the big, the big wide path of this world. Because if you do, because of these things, the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, of unbelief, they're believing a lie. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So if you're in some church where there's some, or in some group, or in with some agenda that you know they're not teaching the whole truth, they're just itching your ears, making you feel good, you know it. Very clearly it says, have nothing to do with them. Be not partakers with them. We know some of this. We see it very clearly. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And let me tell you what. I love this verse. For ye were. Before you were born again, spirit-filled, you were in darkness, sometimes darkness. And I look back at my life, and boy, I can just see it. Plain as days, plain as the nose on my face. But now, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And there are some other scriptures that are like this. For ye were. We need to be so thankful. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy that we were back there in the darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk in, as children of the light. Walk in the word. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What's that word reprove mean? Expose. And that's what a watchman ministry does. And it's so sad to say that, you know, we here, and I don't know about out there, any of you listening to this message, do you have family members, loved ones, who you're trying to share the truth? You know, you're trying to expose the darkness at this path that they're going down. Because we're to expose this darkness, but they won't accept it. They push you away. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Whatever is exposed is the light. You know, if you're exposing half-truths, you're exposing it by the truth. That is the light. It's exposing the darkness. Verse 14, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Hallelujah, we got to say. Amen. And see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let's just stop there and think about that scripture. See then that you walk circumspectly. That word means cautiously. Take heed, behold. What are we seeing here? What are we seeing there? Oh, are you going to get pulled over to that agenda or this one towards this false Christ, this false prophet? Walk cautiously. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore ye be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, Father God, right now we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is the will of you, Lord. We just thank you that we will walk, you know, that the will of the Lord would be done in our lives. We thank you that we believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow and pursue goodness and righteousness and truth when it comes to our lives. Jesus, his righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, amen. Jesus is our example. John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, again, Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Psalm 119:105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're to follow God's word. We're to stand boldly in his word. We're to expose the darkness by his word. His word says this, and you know, we have to be bold. Turn to 1 John. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we're asking the Spirit of truth to bear witness with us with this message, with this word. Amen. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Amen. For there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Amen. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That he believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, that this life is in his Son, and that he that hath the Son hath a life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Wow. You know, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Amen. Okay, let's go to Acts. I'm almost done here. Acts 26. And this Acts 26 is about Paul's conversion. You know, he's walking down that road to Damascus. And if I said that right. And what happened? Boom! Get slammed by this glorious light. Uh, He was on his way to Damascus with the authority and commission from what? The chief priest. You know, these Jewish people that were after, you know, they were anti-Christ spirit, put it that way. In verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journey with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is a hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now I want to go back to that verse 14, Acts 26. And when we were all fallen to earth, you know, it's interesting here. Let's go back to verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Think about that. You're looking up, staring at the sun. It's nothing compared to the light from heaven. Amen. Woo! That's our God. Above the brightness of the sun. I caught that. I'm like, wow, that's my God. Woo! Hallelujah, right? And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand above, upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He's delivering from these chief priests and these people who he's in agreement with, who are, and that's why he's persecuting Jesus. He's delivering from these people, and he's, you know, he's sending them to the Gentiles. Why? Verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. Wow. Ain't that awesome? You know, we need to ponder that. Father God, we just thank you that our eyes are open, Lord. And as our eyes are open to the truth, Father God, that we see the light of truth. We see the darkness over here, the darkness over there, the half-truths over here, the half-truths over here. We see the alluring spirit, the seduction of this darkness sucking people in. But Lord, we thank you that we have open eyes and we can turn from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan unto God, the truth. And most of all, Father, we thank you that as we see this, we repent, we acknowledge we were over there or we were over here, or we did this or we did that. No. We thank you, Father God, that we may receive the forgiveness of our sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in Christ Jesus. We're set apart for such a time as this, Lord. We know. So we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are born again, spirit-filled, Lord, and that you will lead us and guide us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory, right now, his word of truth is arising upon each one of us. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Are you being led by the Spirit of God today? That's my question. And I'm not going to go there, but go to John 12, 35, 46. Well, let's just go there and then I'm going to finish up. John 12. I think it was John 12, 35. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Is that a warning or what? For he that walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he go. You know, we see that. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the light. Ecclesiastes 2:13. Then I saw that there is no more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in the light than in darkness. And my last verse for today, because we see so much coming against us today. Yesterday, June's talked about it. We're talking about it. These things rising up against us in the bank or, you know, emails. And we're just seeing this. Micah 7:4. And this concerns God's people, verses 8 through 20. I'm not going to read all that today. Take note of Micah chapter 7, 8 through 20. But verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light unto me. Amen. You know, we see all the darkness all around us. We see this coming at us, that coming at us. And, oh, now don't live in fear. Don't be seduced into fear, drawn into it. For the Lord shall be my light. Amen. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that. I hope everybody have a glorious, light-filled day. Happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. All yours, Mama.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor. I tell you what, that was really awesome. I took so many notes. Just to let you guys know, it is on the website. A lot of his notes, I put almost all the scriptures up that he talked about. Because I'm basically his secretary.
Once again, when you look up scriptures about the light, all through the Bible, there's so many stuff and about the false Christ and prophets and all that, because it all ties together. I mean, whew, it's awesome.
I know it. Okay, well, I'm going to continue with my part of this. I'm going to be reading, of course, through a lot of different of people's opinions online about the sons of light, but what I'm reading is what I'm in agreement with, if that makes sense. I want to kind of give you a broad perspective of what you're looking at in the worldly situation. of their definition of the sons of light. Okay, so I'm just kind of giving you guys a different perspective. In the context of sons of light, the term false light refers to a situation where someone or something is portrayed in a misleading or inaccurate way, creating a deceptive image that is not reflective of their true nature, often with the intention to manipulate or deceive others. Essentially, it's about presenting a false impression to hide the true intentions or identity of the sons of light. So it's a misrepresentation, the false light is. It involves presenting information or actions in a way that distorts the reality, creating a misleading perception. It is intentional manipulation. The goal is often to deceive others by presenting a fabricated image to gain advantage or control. Now, let's just go into the YouTube, the way we all came together. We know right now this is misinformation on a stick right now flooding YouTube, you know. And we know there are all types of people that we call shills. And these are people that we know are falsely leading people, telling them half-truths, meaning they will draw the truthers in because people want to know the truth, but they're leading them to the darkness, leading them to Web 3.0, leading them to this one world religion, leading them into technology as the answer, see? So that is what it's saying, is that it is intentionally misleading and manipulating people. Okay, now, distinction from defamation. While relative false light focuses more on the emotional distress caused by misrepresentation rather than solely on damage to reputation, which is primary concern in defamation cases. Okay. In the context of the sons of light, though, if a group claims to be the sons of light, publicly promotes themselves as peaceful and benevolent while secretly engaging in harmful activities, they are operating under a false light. Bam. There you go. In your face. Now, this person has another good definition of it. True light versus false light. A person walks in a clothing store and sees a nice shirt that they like to buy. A question might come to their mind is, I wonder what this shirt would look like under true light. The reason for this is that objects illuminated with indoor light often do not reflect their true color. A dress might appear red in the store, but will appear more purple outside. A yellow car might shine brightly under showroom lights, but could appear rather dismal once it's on the road. An experiment would show that this is because different wave frequencies and their red, green, and blue attributes reflect off of objects differently. In photography, we call this term white balance. Similarly, in the Bible, Jesus warns of people who will appear to others as true light, but will actually be fake or false light. This is by far one of the saddest things for us as Christians. People say that they're Christians, but do not act like followers of Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew 7:15-18, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are there grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And Timothy writes, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Boy, is that not true. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Beware of these people and measure what they say against the actual word of God, the Bible. Many people have heard of the bullying frog analogy. If you haven't, it generally goes like this. If you put a frog in a pot of water at room temperature and slowly turn up the heat, the frog will simply acclimate to the water. Before the frog realizes what has happened, that is what is in danger without even noticing. The water has boiled and the frog is dead. But if you drop the frog in the water when it's already hot, the frog would realize the danger and immediately jump out. Now, that's exactly what they're doing to the church right now. They're not walking up to you and saying, do you believe in Jesus? If you do, you'll die. Because they know people will do that. No, it is slick, it is deceptive, and it is sneaky. It is a false light. See, the Antichrist is taking the stage as a light. He's taking the stage as a false light. You know, he's the good guy. He's not coming in wrath and, you know, like the way we always thought it would be. He's coming as he is the answer to your problem. Okay, back to this story here. Such is the case with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Numerous false light professed Christians have slowly distorted the Bible into something that it is not. A simple example would be the prosperity gospel, where someone teaches that God will guarantee material wealth to true Christians. This is the furthest distortion from the truth. Yet false light Christians will cherry pick certain verses from the Bible that suit their own pleasures and passions. Beware of those wolves in sheep clothing. They're not leading people into the light. Okay, so that's one point of view. Here's another one. Jesus explained how to tell the real light from the false light in Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, and you'll know them by their fruits, basically is what that one is. All right, let's see. Why is Jesus the light and Lucifer known as the light bringer? Lucifer literally means light bringer in Latin. It's in his name. It is also a name for the planet Venus, which is also known as the morning star or day star because it can sometimes be seen as a very bright star just before the sunrise. Boy, you can't make that up about day star right now. Isaiah 14:12. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Translations based on Latin Old Testaments may have Lucifer or Lightbringer. This is a little closer to the Hebrew. The passage is about the king of Babylon. The king is being compared to Venus, which outshines all the stars in the sky, until the sun actually rises and humiliates Venus. In the Canaanite pantheon, Venus was a male god who is the son of the goddess of the morning and is something of a braggart. He was also an important god to the Babylonians. Although there are similar references to kings being humiliated by God, who are also supposed to be about Satan, the devil, Lucifer, Venus, this is only direct reference to the god Venus in the Bible. Somewhat awkwardly, though, we have Jesus being compared to Venus, the planet, not the god. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. If you want to make the first passage about a guy named Lucifer and not a metaphor about the king of Babylon, after all, no one actually thinks Jesus is the planet Venus. And no one thinks the earth is covered by a great sapphire dome and that the gods are walking up around there and glowing. Because that is literally what people thought about Venus and God, the sun. However, these passages have caused great distress to some people and have led people to reject certain translations which directly reference the morning star in Isaiah. This is one of the major reasons some churches refuse to use any Bible except the King James. Me too. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. Short version, Lucifer is known as Lightbringer because the king of Babylon was compared to the planet Venus, the Lightbringer. And some people interpret the passage as being a metaphor for Satan, the devil, and Lucifer. Jesus is known as Lightbringer because John the Revelator thought Jesus' wisdom was like the first light in the morning. If you translate the Hebrew literally, this reads son of the morning. But when the people render it in Latin, they wrote Lightbringer. Both are names for planet Venus. Okay, I don't know where this guy's going with this, but okay, now, in the fact of the sons of light, okay, we have two major presidents of the biggest countries in the world that I consider that are actually ruling this end time scenario. And these two presidents call themselves the sons of light. And they compare, they present to the world that they are in a war with the sons of darkness. Okay, and they're considering, it's like the snake eating the tail, really. Because they're all working together, but they're acting like they're fighting each other, just like they do with everything else. Republican, Democrat, America, China, you know, it's the Hegelian dialect, okay? So, in an age where the forces of good and evil are more distinctly visible, the war of light against darkness coin, because they made a coin about this, stands as a powerful symbol of divine purpose and prophetic fulfillment. That word divine, that is used a lot in the New Age realm and in the Noahide laws, in Kabbalah. You know, they talk about the great divine. Featuring Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump as modern day champions of the sons of light. This coin celebrates their pivotal roles in advancing, look at this, God's will for Israel and the world. United with the imagery of Cyrus the Great, the temple, the enduring symbols of faith. Remember I told you guys about that word faith. Faith is ecumenical. It is all of the religions combined. This coin serves as both a tribute to the divine prophecy and a call to stand with the forces of, excuse me, righteousness in the eternal struggle for redemption. Okay, now, that word righteousness, we know that when they want someone to become a Noahide, which is a part of this end time agenda, they call them righteous Noahides. You're righteous Gentiles. This is where they are the ones that are picking who gets to go to heaven. And they're telling the world, you know, this false light. They're telling the world that, you know, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be a part of this global agenda, you have to adapt, you know. You have to accept this new light, this new order. So you have to become righteous the way that we tell you to become righteous. Okay, and then it says, in this coin, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu are positioned side by side. These leaders embody, okay, let me say about that word embody. If you can think of embodiment as demon possession, and the reason I say that is over the years, because it actually means like an infilling. Let me look at the official definition. But over the years, we've seen like with X39, those patches they embody the light. It brings in the false light, you know, which I consider demons. Okay. include or contain something. Embody, it contains something as a constituent part. Okay, and let's see what else here. Well, I guess that's all I have, basically. Y'all get the point of where we're going with this, is that the false light is luring people in trying to look like it is the solution to the problem, okay? So we are going to be the light in the midst of this darkness. For instance, let me give you an example. They'll say, oh, we're not against LGBT per se. I mean, we're just against the extreme part of it. Like when they try to join women's sports, when men try to be in women's sports. You know, they deceive the world and they make it look like they're totally against the LGBT agenda. So they present this light to them in a false way because they act like they're against something, but it's only one part of it. It's only a half truth. Do y'all know what I'm saying? So it's that way in a lot of the ways that they do things. Like when I told you how they'll say we the people, they don't mean like the way we understand it. The perception that we have when we hear this word, we the people, we think constitution, but it's not that way with them. You see what I mean? So the false light basically is how things are being presented to us and what manner is it being presented to us. And okay, let's go down the road of aliens. Let's go down this road. You know, now you see Fox News, which is one of the most trusted news organizations to the church, which was, you know, done by on purpose. But, you know, now they're bringing all this information forth about aliens and, you know, all this. And, you know, even Trump, when he does these interviews, he's talking about all this. And they're acting like it's all a good thing, you know. And they're preparing this light. They're preparing a way, you know. But really, it's just darkness. It's a deception tactic type of deal. All right, so basically, y'all get it. Okay, so I want to sing you a song. Show us your way, Lord. Show us your way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. After thy will, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me. Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Isn't this beautiful? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. hold over my being, absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all can see Christ only, always living in me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Clean out our heart, Lord. Please make a way. Lord, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for our church. Lord, we thank you for all of the people that are listening, Lord. We thank you for being with them right now in this very critical hour, Lord. We know who the real light is, and we're choosing to follow that light, that candle in the darkness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened our eyes, Lord, and we pray you reveal to us any deception, Lord, that we're a part of, and give us the strength to step out, Lord. Give us the strength, Lord, to be a part of what is real truth, Lord. And we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for all that you're doing in the earth today, because we know that we are protected by your glory, Lord. We know that you have a plan for us in this hour, Lord. We know that we are not abandoned and left alone in this either. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless every home listening. And bless them with peace. And bless them with wisdom when they're asking you for something. When they need direction, they need ears to hear what you're saying. They need more faith. They need more love. They need more strength in their body where they feel weak. Grant it unto them, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity for us to be together, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. And we thank you, Lord, that you make our crooked paths straight. When we go through our battles and we go through struggles and we have so many things hitting us, Lord, you always make our paths straight. You're the faithful one here. We're all just human, and we all make mistakes. We all fall sometimes, but you always, when we put our faith and trust in you, you always put us back onto the narrow road. You put us back on the path, and we thank you for that, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.